On today's show, we're going to go over a few news stories from the last week regarding Walt Disney World and other Disney products. That's coming up on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to Traveling with the Mouse. This is episode number 485. Yes, that's right. We're only 15 away from the big 500, which means, let's say it one a week. When are we going to hit that? By summer?
Right around summertime.
15 weeks.
Yeah. I'm your host this week. My name is John, and I am joined, as always, by my faithful co-host, Adam.
What's up, everybody?
Only thing I regret. I guess I'll say that I dislike about hosting is that I don't get to give one of my lines. So,
well, you can still do it.
I could. I could. Yeah. It just doesn't have the same ring when I do it that way.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, I am co-hosting and I am joined by the host, John.
Oh. You're going to switch it back? Okay. Wait a minute. Let me think. It's going to be one of the attractions going away that I got to work in.
Yeah. Tough to be a bug. You need to put one.
Yeah, I need to come up with one that's tough to be a bug. Apparently, I didn't come up with one really quick on that one, though.
Well,
it's like that.
Well,
anyway.
You got time.
Yeah, I got a little bit of time. Not very much. Maybe next week when you host, I'll have a line.
There you go. You'll be ready.
And anyone out there, if they can actually guess it, because my co-hosts apparently were very... that they couldn't think of what comes next on the Muppet Vision one.
Yeah, that one.
I can't believe it. That's like one of the most popular pre-show lines, in my opinion, is when he says,
"Will you stop this foolishness?"
Well, what foolishness would you like to see?
Will you get out of here?
Yeah. I don't know. That one didn't hit me immediately.
It didn't hit you.
Yeah. Anyway. Now I remember it when you added the Gonzo line, but.
When I added it, yes. Yeah. But I could have said one like, "It's a glorious 3-hour finale."
Well, of course. And
you would know that one. Everyone knows that one.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, as I said at the top of the show, when I was introducing,
we're
going to cover a bit of the news stories that came out during the time period. I'm trying to remember from last week. Did you mention how Disney says that they expect small impact from Epic Universe opening? Kind of a different story than what they originally said.
Right. We did not talk about that last week, no.
Well, it was a reason why I was questioning whether we did or not is because it was in the earnings call, right?
Yeah.
So the question was actually posed to Iger and Johnston about Epic Universe. Johnston's comments, originally, right, said that didn't really anticipate anything, I think. Yeah.
I think the way they worded it in the last one was like, even summer is like already strong or whatever, the bookings.
That's right. Because he was like, they were thinking that it was actually going to, instead of hurting, they were thinking it was going to help them.
Right. Yeah. They kind of worded it like that. Like, this is even going to be like, helping because bookings are already strong for summer and people are going to do both. Yeah.
Our competitor opening a whole new theme park is going to be good for us.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
There's room for everyone.
He did say anticipate small impact, but notes, here's what we would say, that Disney's guidance of 6-8% income growth in the experience divisions includes that impact. So.
Yeah. Well, because they continue to just raise prices. So the people that do show up to Disney are going to be paying more anyway. So I guess that's probably why.
I got a feeling that there's a possibility that they're starting to see an impact somewhat.
Yeah.
Like they may have had a good outlook initially, but whenever we're talking 6 months in advance, basically at that point in time, people have a tendency to change their minds or cancel during those time periods. From what I've seen, let's say through social media and what have you, how people talk, like they'll hold a reservation. They end up not, what I mean, doing it. So they don't really have a good idea of what they're going to actually have until the cancellation window closes pretty much for that time period. So,
and we say the same thing about dining reservations. People hold a lot of those and then they'll cancel them. That's why last minute you can get a lot of stuff. Really,
this is true. Like day of, you can get some pretty good ones because people have already changed their minds. They're like, oh, we're going to be doing this instead type deal.
Right.
So yeah, it happens. I'm sure there's a few people that are going to be looking forward to there being a impact that's going to make Disney World a little less busier. But the thing is, it seems like nowadays, when people hear that, it's like it attracts a different crowd, the crowd that wants it to be less busy, and then all of a sudden it's crowded again.
Right.
You know, and then it's like, how long does that cycle keep going until people just like give up, I guess, when it comes to that. So,
right.
So, anyway.
I am looking forward to going in the summer, and I'm looking at maybe like July 4th or maybe June. I just haven't decided yet, but I'm looking at the rates right now because they do have 40% for annual pass holders in the summer already. And I'm looking at, say, let's see, for July 4th that week, including the weekend, Contemporary is available at $404. $394 for Yacht Club, $238 for Caribbean Beach. All Stars is like $160. Pop Century is $173. So All Star Music is $140. Mm-hmm. Ooh, look at this. Polynesian, $487. I actually found a Polynesian room available.
You know, that's just sad that you would look at $487 and say, ooh.
I know. Because I've never seen that low of a price. It's a deluxe studio resort view.
And see, I just can't see paying $487 for the studio that they have.
My gosh. The preferred is
$616. And that's considered good.
I know.
That's the thing.
That's stunning to me that I found a room at Polynesian available.
Yeah.
Sub $500, but barely. Beach Club's $403. Anyway, I don't need to tell you all these. Boardwalk's $402.
I keep saying it.
I'm telling you.
Like I said, this is kind of the sad part. We're like sub 500 is considered like, yeah.
Good, yeah.
When
I know.
It comes to the deluxe resorts.
But how often do we ever see Polynesian available? And then after Epic Universe is open, I'm looking and there it is. So... interesting.
Well, maybe it suggests that there is more of an impact than they would like to admit currently.
Yeah. And the whole pricing thing, that was another story that came out this week. That article, what was it again? Wall Street Journal or something had posted that. I thought that was referencing, because they mentioned something about, Disney had decided to make parking free. Again.
Let me go to it right quick.
Yeah.
Well, it was going back. It's like a timeline, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Because that was like, as soon as Iger came back, they did that little throw.
It was, we said it, or at least I said it.
Yeah.
Throwing a bone. And right. So far, that's like the only thing that's, so far,
right. Still doing anything
that's the only thing that changed still, even to this day.
Yeah.
The only bone that we received.
But it was interesting that Disney did respond to that with talking about, we've got all these discounts and blah, blah, blah. And I got an email from Disney.
Right after.
Like Monday. Yeah. Immediately after that. And it was promoting that $50 a day kid tickets, children tickets at Disneyland. But
see, here's the thing. They hit back at that, as you say, by giving something that's special,
right?
Not admitting we're too expensive.
Right.
We're just going to cut you a deal.
Right.
We're not going to roll anything back. We're just going to cut you a deal at the end in response to this.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? That's not the same thing as consistently rolling something back.
Yeah. No, it's just saying like, hey, we do discounts occasionally. It's basically what they said.
Yeah.
Like,
pretty much. But I mean, you know,
basically have a discount all the time at this point. I mean, lately they've been doing it.
So going back to the one that you were referring to, the Wall Street Journal article talking about it, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Kind of just giving like a bit of a rundown of what they were talking about there. you know, Disney has obviously, the vacation experience with Disney has become more expensive, which it's always has had a bit of an expensive price tag to it. But I think what we've done is we've reached a point where it's so obvious and so straining to the people that want to go that they're like, you got to be kidding me, kind of type comments to it. Like every time they do something now, because it just seems so obvious, almost gouging in some ways, you know?
Right. And I'll say I've cut back because of, you know, we talked about just now the Polynesians, like that's where we always stayed for the longest time. And it was almost always deluxe resorts. And now I'm staying at Values and Mods a lot because it's just too expensive. Like it's not worth the price tag. I love the deluxe resorts, but you can get that at a lot of other places for half the price. It's literally right. The location.
And a lot of those deluxe resorts, what you're paying for is your proximity to a park.
And if you're spending all day in the park, then you don't need to be spending $600 or $800 a night on a hotel room.
Right,
you're
right.
Only there for like 8 hours a night, you know, that's it.
Right. I would go on record and say the resort that gives you the most for your dollar currently is Animal Kingdom Lodge. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, as far as, all the above, I would probably say Coronado. That's just my, because it's like that Mod Ducks.
Yeah, but it's not deluxe.
Yeah, but it's as close as you can get. It's pretty close.
Yeah, as close as you can get without being an actual deluxe. But the one I'm referring to is like a deluxe resort that gives you get the deluxe amenities and it doesn't cost you
an arm and a leg.
$400+ in some cases.
Yeah, actually, I was looking again at that same time frame around July 4th, and Animal Kingdom Lodge was, what was the price? It was actually,
I'm going to guess like they have it as low as about $370.
It was $309, actually.
$309, okay, lower, okay.
Yep, and let me see what room that is. It's probably the...
Well, I know when we got the pool view back in when we got the pool view back in 2022, we actually found one for $325 at that point.
Right. Deluxe Studio Savannah View is only $435.
There you go.
That's not bad at all.
And that's another thing, since we're talking about it, this is kind of almost like a trip planning type thing.
I know, yeah.
I would say Animal Kingdom Lodge, don't waste your money on Savannah View unless you like plan on living in that room, just about.
Right, yeah.
Because you can see animals like all over the place.
All over the resort, like, yeah.
Right, there's all kind of views.
Yeah, the selling point that they do is the wake up to walk out and they're there, you know, kind of thing. But
so it's up to you to decide, is waking up to seeing animals worth the extra $100 a night versus waking up and seeing the pool? You know what I mean? Right. Something like that.
Right, exactly, yeah. Yeah, is it worth it to you?
Yeah. Especially if you're going to go to parks. I know it sounds like I'm criticizing that, but I'm really not, because it's really just like you really have to just weigh that out. Is it worth it to you, right? Some people are going to say it's worth it to them, but the question is it worth it to you for that? Right. Personally, I don't think it is, but.
Yeah, right. The extra 100, right. Are you going to be sipping your Keurig rusty brown water? Sorry.
Dang.
Brown.
What are you trying to say?
Just
you
saying,
don't like the you don't like the options that they give you in the room?
No, don't use the room. I wouldn't.
It's Joffrey's.
I mean, but it's, I don't know.
And you're not a fan of Joffrey's, obviously. Not really.
Well, Joffrey's is okay. Like, I prefer the Kona one is good.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that.
The press pot at Kona Cafe, that's like some of the best coffee.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I always get that one. Oh, good. That's, yeah. Best coffee on property, probably.
That's one of the best.
I can't think of a better one at the moment, but.
Tell you what, well, I could say we have neighbors that are of Latin origin, we'll say. And we've gone over there for like their kids' birthdays, parties and everything. And like the dad, or her dad, so it's really the granddad of the kids. He makes coffee. I don't know what it is he makes, but it's like really strong. But it's only in like this little, like almost like a shot glass, really.
Oh,
almost,
so is it
of
like,
coffee.
It's almost like
an espresso shot, coffee? But it's really good. Yeah, it's really good, whatever he makes.
The strongest coffee I've ever had is Turkish coffee, And it's like the grounds are in the bottom of the cup. It's really strong.
And for whatever reason, when they ask if you want it to be sweetened, they do it with brown sugar. I don't know what that's about. But
the raw sugar, or like the
it's brown sugar. It's just it's you know.
But the anyway. I always
it's not brown as in like it's the cane sugar. No, I'm just meaning it's the actual brown sugar. Oh, like
actual brown sugar.
Yeah.
Interesting. So. Well, that coffee with butter in it at Nomad Lounge, the Mustang coffee has the butter and I think I said brown sugar. I think it was brown sugar and butter. Man, that was good. So
okay, so we kind of turned to a food
coffee show. Right.
But I mean, it's still good information for you guys.
I was going to say the coffee maker in the room, I would prefer to go down and get coffee from wherever quick service location or whatever.
Which is what I did in our last stay. I got the mugs.
Yeah.
Because they just had a regular coffee pot in there for some reason versus a Keurig. Yeah. But
in either one, like I don't love the Keurig either, to be honest. Yeah, I just don't do it. Well,
the thing is with the Keurig is we bring our own pods to put in.
Right. Even with the pot, like, I don't know. I'm more snobby about
coffee. But I'm just saying we bring our own. We bring the good stuff, in other words.
Right. Because so I don't love the Joffrey's. What is it? French? The dark roast. I don't love that one that you get in most places. That's not my. It's not the one I would get. But anyway.
So we brought it all this last time and anticipating there being a Keurig because there normally is with those type rooms. It was a regular coffee pot. So I was like, okay.
Right. Go figure on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, DVCs I thought always had Keurigs, but
that's what I thought too. But I was surprised that it wasn't, unless maybe the Keurig there broke and they just had that to replace it with a Cuisinart. So,
yeah.
Anyway, kind of following back up on that article, they talk about a big area where a cash grab has been undeniable is, of course, Lightning Lane, right?
Mm, right.
Because pre-COVID, FastPass Plus was free.
Yep.
And then Genie Plus had a price tag attached to it, and Lightning Lane Plus has continued. Lightning Lane Multipass has continued.
And the Premier Pass tag is definitely a cash grab because it is not worth that price tag.
Yeah. But let's just say a max out right now of $449 per person per day, and it only works for one park and each ride once.
Yeah, one ride. Yeah, if it was unlimited.
Yeah. That is super expensive. I gotta say, though, I have seen some people post in these groups that have about Lightning Lane, and I question of whether they're legitimate or not, like the average guest. Like, it's not a bot placed by Disney.
Right. Right.
But they thought that they got their money's worth out of it, or they enjoyed doing that, skipping everything, and I'm like,
well,
okay. I'm glad you had the extra $5,000 to spare. On top of wherever you stayed.
Well, you know what I mean? Yeah, putting that into perspective, you can eat at Victoria and Albert's for a lot less per person than that. And I would rather do that.
If you're going to price it in that range, it should at least be unlimited. Even if you stick it to one park.
Totally. Because as we mentioned last week, the old FastPass Plus system, you could ride multiple times. Whatever you could pull, you could get it and ride it.
Now, granted, most people probably weren't because they didn't know it, right?
Yeah.
But
or they're like, oh, we already did that, so.
We got our three in. That's the end of the day.
Yeah, a lot of times that was it. You know, people, didn't do that. Didn't do more than that or much more than that.
Well, anyway, it goes on to talk about things like the Magical Express, which most people don't mention nowadays. That was a nice perk for those that got to use it.
Yeah, if you flew in, it was a great perk.
Did you ever use it?
No, I never flew during that time period.
I used it once.
Yeah, just I remember once. You mentioned that. Yeah. You were at Pop, right, that time?
Mm-hmm. We were at Pop Century that time.
Yeah.
It was early December, and I thought it was great, personally, other than the fact that those times the Pop rooms, they were not refurbed to what they are now, so I did mention that comment about tripping over the luggage when we opened the door when it was finally delivered. It was literally, right there.
Right.
Like there was barely enough room to open the door before you found the luggage. So
yeah, they definitely did a great job redoing those rooms. But,
they maximized the space as much as they possibly could with what they had. Let's put it that way. So
the fold down beds are huge.
I just remember Pop back in the day. You had the carpet, The door would just barely clear the bed when you opened it.
Yep.
The door in the bathroom would barely clear the toilet. Like, yep. Everything was measured just perfectly to miss.
It was a centimeter. Yeah, literally.
Like if somebody opened the door while you're on the can, that would like knock your knees off.
Yeah. So now they have the pocket doors, which is much better.
So, I mean, you know.
For Magical Express, do you remember how did you have to wait a long time
to get on a bus?
For other guests to get on, or have to stop at other resorts first? Like, how did that work? I don't remember much about
well,
that.
Well, I'm gonna remember that. I'm gonna try to recall this to you as best as I can, because it was 2008 or so.
Yeah.
When I did it, they basically had like these queue lines almost, depending on where you were going.
Okay.
It was a Mears bus. Mm-hmm. If you'd ever been on one of those before. Right. It was nice. It was comfortable. It was a comfortable bus. It had these monitors on it that had like a video, which you can probably still find out there on YouTube and what have you, of what the Magical Express showed when they, while you were, like,
sure, there is.
Like they had like this promotional type video that was just the proper length for you to get to wherever you were going. Now, if I recall, I do remember they were resort specific. So my bus went straight to Pop.
Mm.
I don't recall ever stopping anywhere else other than Pop. So we went straight there. And in our case, because we were doing Magical Express, we knew our luggage was going to, you know, come later. So we just went straight to a park at that point in time.
And then just waited for the luggage later.
You came back that evening and the luggage was there.
Nice.
Hmm. My brother James was like, at that time period, he was like concerned about the luggage, apparently. Like, he was like, it better be here.
Yeah.
This sort of thing.
Right.
But
yeah, I'm sure that's most people would, but they do this all the time. So they were good at it. But.
Of course, they gave you a time to come back whenever it was time for you to go back to the airport. It was very seamless to me. I thought it worked well. That was actually in a time period before, though. I don't know how it worked later, but that was a time period before there were really apps and things like that for your phone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was relatively new or on the cusp of becoming a thing.
Was there a special bus stop for it at the resort?
Bus stop? No, there was a special bus. If you remember right, there was a Magical Express bus that actually said that.
Right.
But it dropped you off right at the front. Like where you would pull your car in.
Right. But when you had to go back, there was a certain time you had to be there.
Yeah, it was a certain time you had to for pickup. Yeah.
Okay.
So like you had to have your luggage tagged properly and drop it off at some point. And you could, if your time was later in the day, you could go to a park again if you still had a ticket. You just had to be back there at that resort in time for the pickup
to get on. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it was a great system.
It's similar to when you can drop your luggage off with the bellhop, right? And then go off somewhere and then they take it to your room when your room's ready type deal.
Yeah.
Like you have to call them, of course, but I mean, they will bring it to you. Like you put it in storage, essentially. It's kind of the same thing that they did there with Magical Express.
Right.
But it was a good system. It worked out well. I enjoyed it the one time that I did it. So,
yeah. People love that one. You know, it was funny in relation to this article. I was reading a thread a lot of people chimed in on, and the number one complaint, aside from this going away, the Magical Express going away, was when you bought merch and they would send it to the room for you. That was the number one complaint, that they got rid of that because people don't want to carry merch around all day.
Right, right. I remember many moons ago trying this out when it was still in the early phases, right? We're talking turn of the century.
Right, right. Yeah.
And it was relatively new at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One thing you had to do with that is you had to, I think, be 2 days away from actually leaving because it didn't arrive until the next day.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
In other words, you couldn't be
on your last day, yeah.
Right. You couldn't be on your last day or the day before it, because if they sent it, it could be, because it was the delivery time was like 3 p.m., right? And your checkout's 11.
Right.
So you couldn't be your day of leaving either back then.
Right.
So, You had to have at least 2 days basically left, or a day and a half.
The other thing, though, I think a lot of people were saying, you know, you used to could buy something and have it waiting for you at the park entrance when, you know, when you're leaving or the exit area.
So I haven't tested that out. I haven't tested that out in a while. So I guess I don't do it anymore.
Still don't. Yeah. I remember doing that pre-COVID where I'd buy something. Like, I remember specifically at Hollywood Studios, it was right by the
where you pick up points.
Quarters. Yeah.
It's probably guest services, isn't it? Or no? Like right there where Sid Hunger's used to be way back in the day?
If I remember right, it was over on the opposite side where the...
Oh, the stroller.
Was the stroller.
Yeah.
That's what I seem to remember picking up merch there that I bought. And then Main Street, it was by the fire station on that side.
The side, City Hall. Tony's side or the other Hall? Side?
The other side.
City Hall is where guest services is. That's where you know what I'm saying.
So that was where it was at Magic Kingdom, I think. Because I remember doing it there once as well.
Yeah, I remember. I know where the stroller pickups are at all of them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you did that recently too. So
yeah. The thing that's kind of neat with what they do now is if you want to, you can pay for multiple days and you just bring the receipt with you.
I feel like I did that before.
Mm-hmm. But you probably did. Yeah, it probably
just
did.
Had the receipt or something. Yeah.
You just had to bring the receipt and the next day, and they would let you, you know, pick one up without having to, you know, pay separately. If you knew you were going to go to a park the next day or multiple days, you could just start with that one park and pay for how many days, and then you just bring the receipt with you, and they, you know, give you whatever it is you paid for, whether it be a wheelchair or a double stroller or what. So,
But thinking about this, the merch thing too. How expensive was that for Disney? Because I feel like they're losing out. Because for me, I don't buy merch because I don't want to carry it around. If I can't fit it in my backpack that I carry with me, I don't want to buy anything.
If they ever bring it back, expect it to have a price tag and not be complimentary.
Yeah, probably, right. Yeah, you want to have it shipped to your room for $15 or whatever?
Right. Probably. Like they'll be asking you at the, right there at the point of sale, right?
Yeah. Right, do you want to add $10 to...
Mm-hmm. To have it shipped to your room or shipped to the front of the park.
Oh, sure. Some people would pay that, yeah. Because, I mean, think of all the giant toys or merch or things that you have to wait till the end of the day to buy, and nobody wants to stand in line at the end of the day at a park to buy something.
And if anything, this is the Disney business model. Actually, it's a lot of places' business model now is the upcharge feature.
Right.
You want this service? Well, it costs this much more. No more complimentary services of any kind. That doesn't matter if it's Magical Express, Fast Pass, doesn't matter what it is. No more. It's always an upcharge. No mas.
Yeah. Bleh. That was one of the best things about a Disney vacation back in the day was all the little things they would do for you that made you feel like, oh, this is worth it, because they'll take all the stuff I buy and put it in my room, and they'll take me to and from the airport. And you know, I remember when we first did this podcast, I was a big proponent for Disney transportation. I was just like, I didn't want to drive my own car because Disney did it for me. Like, but now it's like, no, I don't.
And just driving around property lately, just even coming in.
Yeah.
Disney is going to have to do something about their transportation, because I think more people are choosing to drive, and it's just clogging up the whole property, like all the roads on the property. It really is. Once upon a time, you drove to get to your resort, and that was it.
Right, yeah. I mean, we didn't see our car until we left.
Exactly. Like, you just said goodbye to the car when you drove in the parking lot.
Right, yeah.
And it just felt weird when you got back in it.
We were there Thanksgiving week this past year, and it was Black Friday. That night, we were trying to meet somebody at Disney Springs for dinner. We were like, let's just go there. And it was so jammed. The roads were so packed. The parking decks were full.
Uh-huh.
And then as we were trying to get through that, there's like the grapefruit was the only one that was open. And by the time we tried to get to where we could U-turn to get in there, grapefruit was full. And it was just like, okay, there's nowhere to park at Disney Springs. And the road was like jammed. So we just left. And that's when we ended up at Coronado. And we just hung out at Dahlia Lounge instead of going to Disney Springs because there was nowhere to go. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, this last time we went, I took the bus simply because I really didn't want to fool with going to the car. And I wasn't like pressed for time either. So I didn't mind the ride.
Yeah.
So
if you're trying to take it easy.
Yeah.
I still don't love the buses because it's usually so painfully slow.
The thing is, every bus I feel like I got on this last time had been refurbed or was new.
Mm-hmm.
And they were rather pleasant for the most part. I mean, and of course they have the music on them now where they didn't used to, things like that. They kind of hype you up for where you're going.
Right, right. So if you are staying in a deluxe, I think it's better than
if you're just taking in the experience, right? And you're just really just kind of easy going, so to speak, the bus is probably still a good option.
Right. Sometimes those lines though can get so bad.
Yeah. Right. The other thing is when you hit the bus transportation, like the timing, that's another thing.
Yeah. That's the main thing that I hated.
It's not the most efficient thing in the world, but it's also not the worst if you really, you know. I actually liked the taking the bus to say something like Disney Springs, like you were saying, just because of where it is. I mean, the bus stops are relatively convenient depending on what resort you're at. But
right. But at least the bus has their own lanes now on that. So if it is jam-packed, the buses can still get through to the bus stops at least. It's super busy down there, but anyway, yeah.
The only thing is, there are certain parks that the bus stop is not very convenient. Epcot being one of them.
Yeah, I think Epcot is the worst.
Yeah,
by far.
And once upon a time, MGM Studios was actually pretty good, but when they reconfigured everything, it's further away now too.
I don't think it's terrible because it's basically kind of where the Skyliner is, and I mean, it's further away, but it's not near. It's not like as bad as Epcot.
The best one proximity wise has got to be, I can't tell now if it's Animal Kingdom or if it's Magic Kingdom. It's one of the two. Probably Animal Kingdom, actually.
I don't know. Magic Kingdom is close. Close, because I've used it.
Yeah, Magic Kingdom depends on the resort. Too.
The only thing about Magic Kingdom that's the worst is if you try to leave when the park closes, like it's going to take you hour and a half no matter what resort, unless you're staying at Contemporary
or Wilderness Lodge,
right?
Because
if you're taking a bus though, it's going to take you like an hour and a half to get to wherever.
But that boat launch to Wilderness Lodge,
mm-hmm. That's nice.
Was not very many people.
How big was the boat you were on?
You know, they have some that are pretty big. The one we took over there from back from Magic Kingdom was actually one of the bigger ones.
That's what I wonder. Do they pull those out at night, the bigger ones?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know.
I didn't think they used to have those. Those boats look like they're the ones that used to be. Where was that? Those used to be. I feel like they used to be somewhere else when I saw them.
Yeah. Because I recognize them, but I'm like, it used to be those tiny boats.
It reminds me of the boats that they use over there in the Epcot Resort area.
Right, they have a friendship boat, but they're taller, right? They're bigger.
Yeah, they're tall. It's like a friendship boat with an extra deck.
Yeah. I know which one is your time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I feel like those were used somewhere else, but I can't put my finger on it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Those, but they're, you know, the other ones that have the wooden,
right,
seats, that are basically,
like,
those are
like 15 not very people.
Yeah. But those are nice, you know, because of that. That's part of the,
right.
That's one of the things.
Part of the charm of it. Although I feel like at the end of the day, that's going to be filled up pretty quickly.
Well, as I told in my trip report, just because I wanted to sit or we wanted to kind of take it easy. It took us longer to get back to the resort, but we took the monorail, monorail, and then the boat.
Yeah.
It was still, I enjoyed that trek doing that. It took longer, like I said, but hey, I didn't care. It was the end of the night, so, or the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, if it's fine with you and you're doing that,
yeah,
I'm fine with it.
We've kind of gone off and taken this episode in a different direction.
Well, there's more stories we can rapid fire cover here.
Let me just go with the more recent ones. Yep. Lightning Lane pricing returns to all-time highs in March, probably because of spring break.
Yeah.
Early March. So when they say it returns to all-time highs, are they saying like that it's ever been or right around like pushing the limits of what it's been?
The same as the holiday season, 39 for Magic Kingdom. That has been the peak so far. They have not crossed the $40 threshold. 39 Magic Kingdom.
And for the premier pass, the 449, which we mentioned just a moment ago.
Yeah.
Is the early March pricing for March 2nd through the 4th, at least anyway, at this point.
Yeah. And Hollywood Studios, as I said, is usually only a few bucks cheaper than Magic Kingdom. So the peak for that one is 35.
And I would expect single pass to return to all-time highs, but they don't have that one listed, I don't think, at this point, right?
Well, they said that, yeah, those kind of stay pretty consistent. They don't change much. So you're talking, you know, 25 for Rise, and it's probably the lowest is 20 maybe now for Rise, if that.
It's funny. How long is Rise going to be the most expensive one? How much longer is Rise going to be the most expensive one?
Yeah, I'm like,
it's been holding the title for a while.
Right. Do they use that money for maintenance? Like, I don't know. Where do they?
It doesn't seem to be that the case.
I was going to say, if it is, then it's always going to be 25. It's never not going to be.
It's never, it'll only go up.
Yeah. Maybe if the cannon starts working.
At what point do they start pushing the envelope with the price to see how many people buy it, right? So
I mean, the ride is 5-6 years old now, right? So
yeah.
Is it really worth more now? I mean, most people have already done it.
It's weird. I don't know. It's an experience, and I think at once upon a time, that's what people wanted, right? Like a longer ride.
Yeah.
I don't know that they necessarily want that right now. It's one of those weird attention span things. Like I remember hearing Bill Maher mention recently because he has a podcast, right?
Yeah.
And he said that like the American attention span, like he was criticized for only going an hour. He's like, an hour? Are you kidding me? It's like you would get those comments. And I was like, like the American attention span is either like 10 seconds or 3 hours. Right. That's how he put it.
Well, it's like, TikTok or this long form stuff on YouTube. Yeah.
Right. Like they want their podcast to be 3 hours long, but they want their little videos to be 10 second spurts.
Right.
I mean, it's just like the weirdest TikTok thing. Yeah. Anywhere in between, it's like, what are you doing?
Right.
Yeah, it's like just weird. Standard,
yeah. A standard TV show or whatever is like.
Like not, we might have people in our audience that wants us to go 3 hours. I don't think we're going to ever accomplish that, but
yeah, we can't not. Yeah. I mean, this is as short as we can get usually. It's like 45 minutes. It's probably as short as we could ever go, but.
Well, we usually go about an hour.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
usually an hour. I'm just saying, I think if we really tried, 45 is probably the lowest we could do.
Oh, the shortest we could do. Yeah, you're right. Right. We could definitely go longer if we had the time.
Totally.
So. All right, so going into another story.
Yeah.
Unfairly Ever After.
Right.
Okay. You heard about that one? The Hollywood Studios villain show.
So it has a name.
Yes, and it's going to have a 40-minute runtime, which it kind of takes. It kind of goes along with what we were just talking about. Is that long enough, people? Or is it too long?
Yeah, the weird thing is Disney did say that, and then they retracted it. They took that off. He knows.
They did? The 40-minute runtime?
Yeah, they originally said that, and then...
Oh, they did. Okay.
They didn't say what it is. They just said they took that off completely. So if it is 40 minutes, I will not be participating in that. Because I'm like, that is like 20 minutes too long.
Well, I mean, it's funny because they have certain attractions in which they've been shortening the time, right? Because of the attention span. Country Bear Jamboree, for example.
Right, right.
Like, the original show, they cut several minutes out of it. And then they also, with the new show, they went short, right?
Yeah.
As far as the runtime goes compared to the original. Yep. So you have that. I feel like a lot of the thrill rides, they probably wish were a tad bit longer. And a lot of the, like the shows were shorter, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm off base, but I feel like people wish that the Guardians queue experience was a tad bit shorter. I think most people feel that. For example,
it's because you're just shoulder to shoulder with people for so long. That's for me. That's the thing. It's like you're like crammed into these small rooms for so long.
Yeah. Well, it's, to me, the transport room is unique and thus a good experience. But the one prior to that, where Glenn Close basically just talks and then they take it over to
and then Terry Crews.
Terry Crews.
I'm like, yeah, just call us Epcotians. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Let's get it over with.
Terry Crews gets a couple of humorous moments in there, but over time, it's not going to, people are just going to want to get to the next thing.
Right, right.
Because that room doesn't offer anything to the plot, really, not much.
The teleport room is awesome, but people are so like, Jason was so mad when we did Guardians this last time. We didn't talk about it, but we were in that room. Uh-huh. And people started pushing through the door. Like, they would just open the doors to get out because I guess they're not locked, even though they automatically open. I guess they're not locked. So,
yeah, it kind of reminds me of Rockin'.
Probably a couple of dozen people walked out early.
Went straight to
the thigh. He was just, he was vocally, like upset about people doing that. Yeah, he was really mad.
Yeah.
So people are doing that. It ruins the whole final show, but people are obviously very impatient about it.
Truthfully, I got to be honest, the second time we rode it this last time, we actually hung back. We didn't go to that side. We actually stayed on the opposite side and just waited for everybody.
We've done that a couple times too. I think if we were Lightning Lane, I might do that, but we waited like an hour in the virtual queue line, so... What? I was like, dude, let's get to the ride, man.
Because
that was after my marathon.
You know, the thing I noticed, though, is if you want to talk about the amount of wait time that you wait versus being close to the front, it's not like a massive difference. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
it's a difference. Don't get me wrong. It has to be a difference. It's like physically impossible for it not to be.
Yeah. You're talking few minutes versus.
Yeah. Because they're pretty efficient as far as how quickly they load at that point.
So. As long as it's running smoothly. But I know we went off on another thing. But back to the villains thing I wanted to mention. Because the concept is interesting. It says the magic mirror, there's dozens of villains trapped in it. And they want the mirror to reveal which villain has been treated the most unfairly of them all.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
So I guess they're all going to plead their case for which one of them is.
Yeah. It says Cruella de Vil, Captain Hook, and Maleficent actually specifically plead their cases, present their cases on stage.
Right.
Persuading with wicked wisdom.
Yeah. And they show Jafar, Hades as well. So I don't know. There's going to be a lot of live actors.
You know, to me, it's kind of interesting that they put this in an area which they used to have a villain shop devoted. I don't guess they still do. Do they still have villains in vogue? I haven't really paid attention. I don't think they do.
It's not anymore. They used to. That was a cool shop, by the way. But now it's mostly like Pixar merch, isn't it?
Yeah.
That shop.
They had what was the name of that game? The CD-ROM game at that?
Yes.
Watch the Cheshire Cat. It didn't turn out to be as cool as it sounded it would be, but still, you know, it was a cool store. It had villains. Yes. At the time, that was kind of a rare thing, which is what I think made it more cool, right?
Yeah. So. And now it's like the same merch you see in almost every shop is, you know, whereas it used to be more, I want something unique. I'm going to go there. And it's not that way anymore, unfortunately.
to go along with a couple of the news stories that we kind of strayed from a little bit, Walt Disney and Magical Life has been delayed until July 17th at Disneyland.
So until the actual anniversary.
Almost 2 months, though, from what they originally said. This could just simply be because they wanted to put it close to the anniversary, though, don't you think? I don't think it has anything to do with any issues they're encountering, I don't think, but...
Maybe. Yeah, it's only an extra month and a half or whatever, so...
Yeah.
Maybe that's fine. And along with that, they are going to do that new verse that Richard Sherman wrote for Small World on the same date, Disneyland's 70th anniversary, so that's cool. I didn't realize they were actually going
to
do that.
Yeah. You know, that's going to mess folks up a little bit, though, right? When they're so used to that song for so long. It's going to... They're going to be the ones that sing along to it anyway.
Maybe you won't completely go insane if there's something new to it that's not...
Speaking of which, when we wrote Small World, I had noticed, and maybe this is just the first time I've written it in quite some time, but they went back to the original, like, putting the different ways to say goodbye down on the at the end of the ride instead of the Magic Band thing.
Yeah, they stopped doing that, which kind of bummed me out because I enjoyed, although maybe it was because if you had more than one Magic Band, it was like, there was one time where, like, all the screens said Adam because I had, like, five Magic Bands in my bag or whatever.
Hey, so,
it picked all of
Jason,
them up.
Jason actually mentioned that in an episode. It was like, Hi, Jason.
Right. Yeah.
Because he had a bunch of Magic Bands in his backpack or something like
right.
that.
Yeah, maybe that is why too many people
became an issue.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the other one, though, Star Tours, I think still does it where it pulls your, but it'll pull your, where you're from, like what city you have listed as well. That's interesting.
What point does it do that?
It's right before you, when you're going up the ramp, right before you, where that other robot is there.
Uh-huh.
You're almost never stopped there. But
from in the queue.
Yeah, it's in the queue right before you basically go to the loading area. Right.
I don't remember getting anything like that when we went this last time. It's not the one that's Patrick Warburton. Then. That's the last one.
Maybe it is because it's after the one that's checking luggage. It's the one at the very top right before you go.
That's Patrick Warburton. You can tell by the voice.
Yeah. So it's that one.
Huh. I don't remember that one giving any indication that was, you know, picking people out, so to speak. So.
Yeah. Huh. I see my name and then it pulls your city too, like where you're from. Because they talk about, that's a strange planet or something. Yeah. Don't mention it. Yeah. That sounds like a strange planet or whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
Huh. I actually really enjoyed my Star Tours. My Star Tour.
Just last time. Yeah. It depends on which ones you get, I think. Because some of them are good and some of them are a little boring.
Well, I think you always get Ahsoka now, right? Like it's a regular thing.
Yeah. But I think... So I've gotten Cassian once and I've gotten Grogu and... But I think Ahsoka is also...
Well, see, I got Ahsoka and Cassian. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like, she's always, like, on the screen on the right, or but the projection or whatever
but could the, be. The planets I went to, I know I went to the Wookiee planet as one of them. I feel like I went to Gungan City, too.
Yeah. What did I've done the Purgle one. That was kind of cool. The space whales. That was from Ahsoka.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that one, actually. I don't think it was this past time, though.
What was the most recent one, though, was kind of boring. And I forgot. Oh, it was the one where you end up going to the one from Rise of Skywalker or whatever, where you go to the where the Death Star fell into the water. I don't know. Whatever planet that was.
Salt Planet?
No. That was
a very
great Last Jedi, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then you end up at the where all the Star Destroyers, where the Emperor, whatever. That was, anyway. All right, so a couple of things at Galaxy's Edge, right? They're going to do a projection show at Disneyland to continue ruining the timeline thing that they've thrown already out the door.
Yeah, we found out recently about Luke potentially being
Right, involved. That was the other thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Luke. So Luke's going to show up, which is like, and R2 apparently. So it's like, okay, there's no, like, who cares
about Luke? I think we predicted long ago that timeline was not going to last.
Right.
You know.
And mainly because people don't really care that much about the Disney ones, especially Rise of Skywalker one. So.
Yeah.
They don't. And it was really set before that movie anyway, wasn't it? Because of.
Yeah. Their objective was to have it be a place trapped in time, so to speak. That was also the objective when they had the hotel actively bringing people there daily as well. So.
I think now they should just sort of try to make it Star Wars-ish, but not really stick to the whole timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Which they're not really doing anyway, but because you've got Mandalorian on there, so it's like this, the timeline
right. isn't... It kind of died with Mandalorian, and now they're adding more.
Right.
But I'm okay with that because I kind of figured it was going to go that way anyway.
Yeah.
The next step is get rid of the blue and green milk.
Right.
Or at least
because nobody
adjust
wants
the recipe. At least adjust the recipe or something.
Yeah.
Make it more appealing. You know, real quick, how about this class action lawsuit over the DAS service, which
doesn't surprise me.
Right, I'm not all that surprised, but I gotta be honest, I think the changes they made actually keeps it more honest. That's just me.
Yeah.
But I'm shocked that there's that many people that would it would actually get to the point of a class action lawsuit. Well, maybe I shouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, I see the part of the complaint is that guests were required to disclose private medical information. Violating privacy laws, like, because Disney wants you to prove that you actually need it, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and it's not really a gray area.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure on that one.
I gotta be honest. I don't think it violates HIPAA for you to have to
prove that.
Yeah. That you have a disability. Not, again, I guess nowhere else actually asks you to prove it per se.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're getting preferential treatment.
Right, you're getting a big perk.
Essentially.
For it. I mean, for
you
me.
You need to give a little something.
Yeah, I would be more than happy to give them whatever they wanted if I was trying to get this perk, if I needed perk.
I could see if it were something where they were inconveniencing you due to your disability, but this is actually giving you a perk due to your disability. There's a difference, right? Like, it's not the same thing as, like, a restaurant having stairs and not providing a ramp. I mean, you see what I mean? This is not the same thing.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because, they did tighten the ability to get it, restrict it more. Or make it a little bit more of a hurdle, but
and one that I shared, of course, was that the DVC was raising their price per point, which is not really all that surprising.
No, it's going to happen.
It's just one of those things that when you hear it, it's like, "Well, here we go again," type deal, you know. As Jason pointed out, because he is the member.
Yeah, the DVC.
Of this podcast that is a DVC member, he seems to, his opinion is that it is still a great deal. So,
right. Over time, you're still saving money over rack rate for sure.
Yeah, it really depends on how you vacation.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know. I think you have to factor in what it costs fee-wise every year as to whether it's truly worth it. But that's just...
Yeah.
I mean, I could let him hash that out a little better. Anybody could justify it if they want to.
I mean, especially if you're buying something that's new and you got 50 years on it over that course of 50 years, if you can utilize it, you will mm-hmm. have saved money over what you would have paid for rack mm-hmm. rate. But I remember my dad looked at this at one point at mm-hmm. what was it? Boardwalk or something?
How long ago was this?
It was like in the 90s.
It was back when the only time you could look at it was if you were there and they like gave you a presentation.
I don't remember what it was, but I just remember him saying it was like $85 a point or something. It was like back then it was, and now it's like $235 is what it looks like is the minimum. So yeah.
Yeah. I think I could see it being totally worth it if you got into it from the very beginning and kept it.
Yeah, I mean, totally. Like, if we bought it back then, it would...
Kept your home resort, at least, anyway.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But
which I guess there's times when you can buy shares into the old resorts, but I think they're still cost more now than they did back then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. And, yeah, I don't know how much time you get on those.
You mean how many nights, basically?
Like, if I bought Old Key West, they have to ask Jason these questions.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And now, you know, they've kind of engineered it. Disney kind of pushes the limits on that as far as what the laws allow, we'll say, for timeshares. Just because they don't have to offer certain perks. So when they do resale, they basically eliminate the perks for the most part. Right.
So yeah, if you don't buy direct, you don't get a lot of the benefits.
Yeah, the way the real estate laws go when it comes to timeshares, they can force you to be in a certain thing. Like, they can't stop you for being on resale, but then again, they can't stop you from incentive, right? They can't stop you from how you do your incentive. So, but basic, just the buying and selling of it, yeah, like, Disney can't do anything about that. This is going to occur. They can just take away the extras,
right?
So
one other story that we had talking about was that power outage that happened in Magic Kingdom.
Oh yeah. We didn't mention that. It feels like that was so long ago that we forgot to, maybe should have already mentioned it by now.
Right.
And of course the Super Bowl, you know, the winners went.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
For usual.
That was Jalen a really Hurts. Boring Super Bowl game, but I'm glad the Eagles won.
You know, it's weird. You say boring, but it's boring because it was not going. It was pretty obvious how the outcome was going to go pretty early on. But it still was action packed somewhat.
The Eagles played great, obviously.
Yeah,
that was fun to watch because I didn't really care. But
when I watched it, I was a little bit surprised at how lopsided the crowd was, because like even when they introduced him at the beginning, like when the Chiefs came out, they had an array of boos. And I'm like, what? I would have thought at the Super Bowl they would have at least had their fans. I was like, man, there's really a lot of people that does not want them to three-peat. I know this is not a Super Bowl podcast, but one thing I noticed was that they didn't show Taylor very often like they did last year.
Right.
And
Fox, not far away.
Yeah. Well, what was it on last year? Was it not on Fox?
No, they switch it every year, rotate. So it had to be CBS or ABC or
anyway. However, like the in-between, like ESPN showed this clip on social media that they showed her in the booth, and she actually did get quite a few boos when they showed her. I don't know what it is. Man, say champions. Here you go. So that we just asked.
Why? I mean, they love a good underdog story. That's her.
Yeah. The Eagles, though, just, you know, if you combine the championship game with the Super Bowl, right? They killed those two teams. they were just that talented this year, to be honest. They were really
defense.
They were the team.
Championships
too. Oh yeah, they were the team. They were the team to win it all. I'm power a little outage. Bit sorry. Yeah, power outage. Power outage.
Good.
Going back to that. Let's put a bow on it.
It affected like half the rise.
So many. Yeah, so many that came out, and it was essentially due to the
compressed air system had shut down.
Yeah, that's a little strange.
So I assume that would affect pirates because of like the water cannons and stuff, and maybe the
some of the animatronics actually.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, maybe. And then Small World the same way.
Yeah, a lot of the older animatronics would have been affected by it.
Tron was still operating. People Mover was. There's a handful of others. I'm trying to think of what, like Carousel of Progress was not affected or no? I don't remember now.
I don't remember.
Maybe it was.
20 is a lot to be down for.
For one park. And it was like 3 hours.
Yeah. It was not a short amount of time. Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you feel like you got gypped if you were there that day?
Yeah, I would have probably just left. I would have just left and gone and had dinner somewhere.
You know, again, well, that had to like massively increase the wait times on the stuff that was open.
Oh, yeah. I think Tron's wait went way up because of that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, too. Okay, so all those were down, but you already had closures galore over there, right? Like Big Thunder mm-hmm. and Astro Orbiter and, you know, things like that. Yeah, were already closed anyway. So that just made it like 10 times worse. So,
yeah. Totally.
What do we think about Disney choosing to roll back the DEI stuff?
I'm not surprised based on the political.
But I mean, they didn't have. But here's the thing, though: they didn't have to. So, no, do we think they truly believe that these aren't necessary policies? Like, why would they do that though? If they truly believed in it, it's my thing.
I think part of this has to do with the way Bob Iger talked about storytelling, because one of the things they mentioned was the, you know, stories matter from all the underrepresented groups. But I think Bob Iger went on record talking about how making the story matter more than just trying to represent everybody, making mm-hmm. the story the centerpiece was more important. So I think Iger was already sort of changing that direction.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, some people could say, well, they're doing it to be in favor with the current administration, but at the same time, I'm sure there's some companies that have not done a thing.
Right. Until they feel like if they feel like they're being pushed one way or the other. But I think Disney's already been pushed because of the thing with JPEG screwed up.
My personal feelings are, as long as a company is being fair and truly taking the best person regardless, do you know what I mean? That's all that really matters. Let's just put it that way.
Well, I mean, it depends on who's making the decisions, right? Are they actually thinking about that when they're...
Right. I feel like sometimes DEI forces people to check boxes. That's the issue. But
I think if you truly care about DEI, you don't actually need
to check boxes. Yeah, right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You don't need to be forced to do anything. That's what I'm getting at.
Right. But I think some companies do because they're not even thinking about it at all. And
see, when I hear the term DEI, I think of racing most of the time. From
back in the day. Right. Dale Earnhardt Incorporated.
Yes, that's what I used to think of.
Right.
Anyway. But
Anyway.
All right. Yeah, I think we've got a nice little show here. We can put a bow on it.
Bow and ribbon.
So you can find us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. That's all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store in which you can get our exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. We have a YouTube channel as well, which you can catch our episodes and some videos from the parks themselves. Where can you find that, Adam?
Our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. You can email us podcast at travelingwiththemouse.com, and there's links to all that and more on our website.
So for Adam, my name is John. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and I hope you will join us on our next trip.